إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 12th session from the brief essay, which is known today as Al-Wasiyya Al-Sughra, the concise legacy or advice for uprightness of the religious and worldly life by Taqiyyuddin Abul Abbas, Ahmed ibn Abdul Halim ibn Abdul Salam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. Tonight, our topic Yani is a continuation from what we were discussing in the past 2 weeks and the conclusion of the second issue that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah responds to of the four questions that were presented to him. Yani related, the second matter being the yani best or the most superior of righteous deeds that one can do after fulfilling the obligatory duties. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to finish this topic, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And it is very important conclusion to this topic, very important topic, that is the remembrance of Allah, dhikrullah, and the various types of remembrance of Allah, and its importance and greatness, and its high station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we look at the concluding remarks of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah on this topic, we want to go back quickly and look at some of the topics that we discussed last week, yani from the questionnaire study guide number 11. The first question being, briefly explain the two reasons why the author, that is Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah, says there's no comprehensive answer to this question for every individual. Can somebody help me with this? Is it something? I can close this. Now. I don't know. They say the speaker is not on the sister's area? Huh? They can't hear. I'll try to speak a little louder. I don't know how that will work, but Allahu musta'an. Again, the first question being explain or briefly explain the two reasons why the author says there's no comprehensive answer to this question for every individual. The question being, yani, what is the best of voluntary righteous deeds that a person can do after fulfilling the obligatory duties? Now, Abu Jamil.
One of the reasons was that the people, they differ in their capabilities and their abilities as well as their time.
Now, that the people differ in terms of their capabilities and their abilities. Yani, what the people are able to do, there's difference between them in terms of what they are able to do. And he mentioned time. Yani, specifically, what about the time? Now. Yani, that there are some deeds that are more appropriate in certain times than other deeds in that particular time. So there's difference in reference to the times, what is more, yani, appropriate or suitable. مَا يُنَاسِبُ الْأَوْقَاتِ. And these are the two things that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentioned, saying that a detailed, comprehensive answer for every person will be different because people's abilities are different, and also the time that you're looking at, yani, what may be better in a certain time may be different then what is better in another time? The second question, summarize the story narrated by Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, about one of the Ubad, yani one of the people who engage a lot in worship, and his advising Imam Malik, rahimahullah, to give up teaching. And can somebody summarize this story briefly? Now, Musa.
One of the Ubad, the worshippers, wrote to Imam Malik, telling him that to leave the teaching, to leave his student, and engage in worshipping. And Imam Malik wrote back to him, telling him that that the teaching benefits himself and also others, wherein the worships only, that the worship only benefits him alone, and also both of them are in good, and also he is pleased with what Allah has made easy for him.
Now, yani in summary, the person, he was engaged in a lot of worship, like standing in the night in prayers and fasting and things like this. And he felt that it was so good that he wanted to advise other people to do the same as him. So he encouraged Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah to give up teaching the people and yani, go into solitude and go be alone by yourself and worship Allah. And this is something very, very yani, wonderful. And Imam Malik rahimahullah responded to him saying that what you are doing is very good and what I'm doing is also very good, no less than what you are doing. And he mentioned, yani, that the benefit of the teaching is not limited to the one who is teaching. Rather, it also benefits others. And this is also important. And he mentioned some other things. The important matter is what? And from this story, we understand that different people may be engaged in different things of acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is pleased with all of these acts of obedience. Every person does what they have the ability to do. They should, yani, engage themselves in what they have the ability to do and what is suitable for them. And yani, seek Allah's reward and to be pleased with this. The third question, memorize the hadith mentioned by Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, which shows the superiority of the alim over the abid. Naam, Ibrahim. Fadlu al-alim al-abid. Kafadli al-qamr laylat al-badr. على سائر الكواكب, meaning superiority, the excellence.
Yeah, excellence, superiority of the alim, the scholar, the abid, the worshipper, is like the superiority of the moon on the day, the night of Badr, over the rest of the stars.
Naam, the superiority of the scholar, the alim, over the worshipper, the person who's engaged in worship, is like the superiority of the moon, Laylatul Badr, meaning in the middle of the month, when the moon is full. Yani, the superiority of that moon over the rest of the stars in the sky. Yani, this is the superiority of the alim over the worshipper. Yani, what the worshipper is engaged in is good, but what the alim is engaged in is better. And the fourth question mentioned the qa'ida, yani the rule or the principle alluded to by the author, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, and detailed by his student Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, concerning which deeds are best in consideration of the times when an action is done and give an example. Yani, what is the qa'ida that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah alluded to here, and that Shaykh Abdul Razak says that his student Shaykh al-Islam, yani Ibn al-Qayyim, that he yani explained in detail. What is this qaida yani related to? Which deeds are best in consideration of the time in which the action is done, with an example? What is this qaida? Naam, Abu Jamil.
He said that whatever act or deed is closer to the sunnah in that time,
naam,
which is in agreement with the sunnah, then this is the better deed to do. And he gave an example of reciting
Quran. Yani that the deed in any particular time, in that particular time, which is closest to the sunnah for that particular time, is better, yani, based on what? Based on it being in agreement with the sunnah at that particular time. Even though there may be other deeds in other times that might be better. But in that particular time, one deed might be better than another deed. This is in reference to nawafil, yani, voluntary deeds. That the best deed in any particular time is the deed that is closest to being in compliance, in agreement with the sunnah for that particular time. And the example that he gave, or one of the examples that we can give?
Reading Quran or making dhikr after Fajr after Asr.
Naam, reading Quran and making dhikr after Fajr after Asr. Naam.
During the time of the adhan, repeating after the
muadhan. Or during the time of the adhan, repeating after the muadhan. Yani, that recitation of Quran is one of the best of deeds. However, at the time when the Mu'adhin is announcing the call to prayer, then what is better than reciting Quran is responding to the Mu'adhin, repeating what the Mu'adhin says, as the Prophet ﷺ said, يعني إذا سمعتم المؤذن فقولوا مثل ما يقول. If you hear the Mu'adhin saying the Adhan, then say the like of what he's saying. This is better at that particular time than reciting Quran. Now, the fifth question, explain what is meant by the author, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when he says, Al-ulama billahi wa amrihi. Yani, what does he mean by this expression? Al-ulama billahi wa amrihi, with mention of the three types of scholars according to the classification of Abu Hayyan al-Taymi rahimahullah. Naam, Abu Bakr. Naam, the ulama, al-ulama billahi, are those ulama, those scholars who have khashya of Allah. Yani, yakhafu, yakhafu Allah, wa yakhsha Allah, wa yu'adhimu Allah. Naam. And the alim bi amrillah is the one who knows the halal and haram. Yani, the amru wa nahi wal ahkam. Yani, the ulama, the shaykh, he said, yani, that the scholars are divided into three. One of them is the alim billahi, the one who knows Allah, the one who fears Allah, who exalts and glorifies Allah. And the other one is the one who knows the commands of Allah. Yani, what Allah has commanded, what He has prohibited, and the legal rulings, the halal and haram. And the third scholar, he said, what? Is the, has both of them. Alim billahi wa alim bi amrillah. Naam. And so what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah means here, he said that this type of scholar, the ulama who fear Allah, who have khashya of Allah, who glorify and exalt Allah, and who know the laws of Allah, that they are in agreement, that after the obligatory duties, the best of voluntary righteous actions is the dhikrullah. Naam. Naam. Question number six, memorize the hadith of Abu Huraira, reported by Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, showing the superiority of dhikrullah over other good deeds. The hadith of Abu Huraira, reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Naam, Ahmed. That's Abu al-Darda. Anybody remember the hadith of Abu Huraira? Naam, Musa. Sabaqa al-mufarriduna. Meaning?
Those who are alone.
Those who are alone, yani who are out front, ahead of everyone else, so that they are alone. There's nobody, they're not in the back with the rest of the pack, right? They're out in front, outdoing everyone. Naam. Al-Mufarriduna.
And they ask him, قالوا يا رسول الله, أمن المفرّدون?
They say, who is the Mufarriduna? Who are these people, O Messenger of Allah?
Then he answered, قال, الذاكرون الله كثيرا والذاكرات.
And the Prophet ﷺ said, those who, men and women, who remember Allah a lot. ذَاكِرُونَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Those who remember Allah a lot. From men and women who remember Allah. These are the مُفَرِّدُونَ. And these are the people who are out ahead of everyone else. And they're at the front, at the forefront. So far ahead of everyone else, it's like they are alone. And this is what we want to be. We want to be out in front. We don't want to just be in the race. And it's not that difficult to whoever Allah makes it easy for, to remember Allah a lot. And that is our topic to tonight. Question number 7. Mention the 5 points of superiority of dhikrullah outlined in the hadith of Abu al-Darda radiallahu anhu, reported by Al-Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullah. The 5 points. Naam. Ahmed. First point. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ عَلَى خَيْرِ عَمَالِكُمْ. Yani, that this is the best of your deeds. Naam. And the second of them, the most pure of deeds in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shall I inform you of the most pure of deeds? Naam. And also the highest, yani, in terms of raising your degrees, how high you will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thing that will raise your degrees the highest. And it will be better for you than giving in charity gold and silver. Better for you than giving in charity gold and silver. What will be better than that? And the fifth point, the Prophet ﷺ said, it would be better for you than that you meet your enemy yani on the battlefield, and that you strike their necks and they strike yours. Yani that you're fighting in the way of Allah. And they said, Bala ya Rasulullah, what is it? Yani tell us, we want to know. And he said, it is the remembrance of Allah, dhikrullah. And this shows yani the superiority of dhikrullah over other deeds after the obligatory duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made upon us, that He's mandated upon us. That the best of these is remembrance of Allah. And it's not that difficult to remember Allah. Yani with the tongue, with the heart, yani to yani constantly be in remembrance of Allah in everything that we do and everything and wherever we are in every situation or circumstance. Question number 8 mentioned the qa'idah related to the best one among every group of people known for a particular type of worship. Naam. Ibrahim. Naam. Fadl.
The best one is the one who, while doing that act of worship, remembers Allah.
Naam. The best of every group of people who are known for a particular act of worship, whether it's fasting or hajj or pilgrimage or charity, the best of those people in that group who are doing that type of worship, the best of them is the one who remembers Allah in that act while doing it, who remembers Allah the most. Who remembers Allah the most. So two people are fasting, the same fast, but one of them is remembering Allah a lot, and the other one is remembering Allah a little or not at all. And therefore, even though they are both doing the same act of worship, the one who remembers Allah the most is the best of them. And the last question discussed the intended meaning of the author, rahimahullah's expression, الدلائل القرآنية والإيمانية. الدلائل القرآنية والإيمانية. What is the meaning of this expression? Now, Musa.
الدلائل القرآنية means those ayat, those verses in the Quran that shows the virtue of dhikrullah.
Naam. Yani al-dalal al-Quraniyah, here he's saying what? Those things, the ayats in the Quran, yani evidences, we're talking about remembrance of Allah. Yani things that prove and show the superiority of remembrance of Allah, from amongst them are ayats in the Quran that point to the excellence and superiority of the remembrance of Allah. And there are also other evidences that he called al-dalal al-Imaniyah. Al-dalal al-Imaniyah. Anybody have explanation for this now?
Dalali al-Imaniya, those three parts, basaran, khabaran.
He mentioned naam. He mentioned these three things now.
Is that which the individual that remembers Allah a lot feels in his heart, and also witness that true insight.
Naam.
And there's also narrations.
Naam. Yani the Shaykh, he is explaining this expression here to mean yani the al-dala'il al-imaniyah, yani al-shawahid al-iman allati taqumu fil qulub yubsiruha ahlu al-iman. Yani the shawahid of iman are those things that witness, that bear witness to something. Yani the shawahid of iman are the things that the person who has iman, due to that iman, there's something that the iman that resides in the heart that causes that person that bears witness for that person to the excellence, in this case, of the remembrance of Allah. It's something in the heart of the person who has iman that bears witness, makes him to see and to understand and to recognize. Yani those shawahid, they bear witness to the excellence of the remembrance of Allah. And he said that, yani basaran wa khabaran wa nadaran, yani basaran meaning what is seen through the iman that's in the heart. And khabaran, that which the narrations that are conveyed to the believers, yani from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the excellence of iman. And nadaran is more so like the reflection or contemplation. Yani he said, ma yakunu fil qulub min al basair. Yani basair, basira. Yani basira is different than basar. Yani basara is the sight, and basira is insight. So it means that the heart, in the heart, the one who has iman has certain insight into things from their iman. And this is a little bit different than the thing that, like eyesight and insight, is not exactly the same, but both of them are a type of sight that allows you to see. And all of these, this is what he means by al-dalail al-imaniyah, yani that which is present, established in the heart due to iman, that allows the person who has iman to see the excellence of whatever it is that Allah intends them to see, in this case, the excellence of dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, inshallah, yani we're going to read from the Arabic explanation of this book, yani on page 50, yani from near the top of the page, yani a few lines down from the top of page 50 to the top of page 54, to the top of page 54 in the Arabic. And the English, the original English translation that was originally published, this one here, The Concise Legacy, we're going to be reading from page 17 under the title Types of Dhikr up to page 18, the end of the page before Istikhara. And in the recent yani publication of the same translation, basically, yani hardcover book published by Dar es Salaam, we're going to be reading from page 52 under the same title Types of Dhikr up until page 57 at the end of the page. So if you're following from the book, yani just for the text yani of this topic, you can follow on those pages. Otherwise, obviously, the explanation yani is going to be much more extensive than what is found in those pages. Okay, so yani we'll start by saying that yani this topic is a very important topic. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was asked about the best of virtuous deeds after the obligatory deeds, and he said that to explain what is the best is not possible, because this would differ from one person to another due to their abilities and the timings and things like this. And therefore, he said, what is sort of like an ijma' consensus amongst the scholars, al-ulama billahi wa amrihi, as we just got finished talking about, is sticking to the remembrance of Allah all the time. This is the best that the person can do. I'm summarizing what we talked about previously. This is the best. And he mentioned the hadith of Abu Hurairah that we mentioned tonight, yani sabaqa al-mufarridun. And he also mentioned the hadith of Abu Darda, yani radiallahu anhu, that we mentioned tonight from the questions from last week. And then, yani he goes on to, yani the point that we want to discuss tonight. After mentioning these things, he said, wa aqallu dhalika ay yulazim al-abdu al-adhkar al-ma'athura an mu'allim الخير وإمام المتقين صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني this is from the text of the book. يعني this is not from the explanation. This is from the text of the book. يعني what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, that this remembrance of Allah, sticking and hearing to the remembrance of Allah, the least of it that a person can يعني perform or fulfill is that they adhere to the remembrances, the adhkar that have been transmitted from the Mu'allim al-Khayr, that is, the teacher of good, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Imam of the people of Taqwa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he goes on to mention the different types of adhkar, al-adhkar al-mu'akkata, yani the adhkar that are connected, related to times, and al-adhkar al-muqayyada, the adhkar that are connected or restricted to certain yani matters like eating and drinking and so on. And then he mentions yani sticking to al-adhkar al-mutlaqa, yani just any adhkar, words of remembrance that are not related to any time or any particular occasion or event, yani just general remembrance of Allah. And he explains that the best of this is la ilaha illallah, and he goes on to say that there are some other words of remembrance that may be better on certain occasions. The Shaykh in the explanation begins by saying, ثم أخذ يبين رحمه الله تعالى القدر الذي يكون به العبد من الذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات يعني الذين يفوزون بهذه الأجور والله يقول كما مر معنا والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات عد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. And here Sheikh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says, وَأَخَذَ يُبَيِّن رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah begins to make clear the amount of remembrance of Allah, or the extent of a person's remembrance of Allah, الَّذِي يَكُونُ بِعِ الْعَبْدِ مِنَ الذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَةً, due to which a person will be considered as one of those who remember Allah a lot. How much remembrance of Allah must a person do in order to be considered from amongst those who remember Allah a lot, and in order to be successful in achieving these great rewards? And here, these great rewards, هذه الأجور, he refers it back to the ayat in the Quran that we mentioned recently, yani in the previous discussions, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd surah, 35th ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes some of the believers by saying, ذَاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. Yani those men and women who remember Allah a lot, who remember Allah frequently, and Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and a tremendous reward. Yani Allah has prepared for them, it's already ready. He has already prepared for them forgiveness of their sins and a ajran azima, a great reward for those who remember Allah a lot. So here the Shaykh, yani he's saying that Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah begins to explain to us, to what extent must a person remember Allah to be included amongst those people? For Allah has promised forgiveness for them and a great reward. Forgiveness of their sins and a great reward. Who is not in need of forgiveness of their sins? Along with, not just forgiveness of sins, that would be sufficient. If Allah would just forgive our sins. Forgiveness of sins and a great reward. For those who remember Allah much. فَيَكُولُ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ وَأَقَلُّ ذَٰلِكَ. Yani the least of this, yani remembrance of Allah, yani meaning the least portion of dhikr that a person must come with or fulfill so that he will be considered amongst these people, those who remember Allah much, the least of this, أَنْ يُلَازِمَ الْعَبْدِ أَذْكَارَ الْمَأْثُورَ عَنْ مُعَلِّمِ الْخَيْرِ وَإِمَامِ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Yani the least of it is that a person must adhere and stick closely to those words of remembrance, those adhkar that have been conveyed to us from the teacher of all goodness, the imam of the people of piety and righteousness. And here the Shaykh says, we have to take a quick look, that will not take a long time, yani at this matter, yani meaning the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, an mu'allim al-khayr wa imam al-muttaqeen. Yani that a person must be engaged in remembrance of Allah based on those words of remembrance that have been conveyed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, today the people have been tested, O brothers. The people have been tested in our time with books that they have in their hands, in their possession, that contain words of remembrance and supplications that are not transmitted from the teacher of khair, not transmitted from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not transmitted from the imam of the people of taqwa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, they are words of remembrance, adhkar, and supplications, ad'iyah, that people have yani commissioned themselves. They have assigned themselves to make up, to yani invent. They have invented them themselves. Some people, and sha'aha al-mukhtari'un, yani these people, they have, the people who invented them, they made them up themselves. They have composed them. And they have appointed times for them when they should be said. And they have even given descriptions of the manner in which they should be said. All of this, people, they made it up themselves. They made them up themselves. You see, many of them in the hands of the people, and they are not based upon what has been authentically narrated from the Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. They are not based upon what has been conveyed from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, some of them contain al-ghulu, yani excessive exaggeration. And some of them contain al-khurafa, yani fantasies, fairy tales that they just invented. And some of them contain al-dalal, yani clear misguidance that Allah only knows about, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is bringing to our attention the fact that the Muslim, إِذَا أَرَادَ أَن يَكُونَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الذِّكْرَ لِلَّهِ حَقًّا وَصِدْقًا. Yani the Muslim that intends, that desires to be from amongst the Ahlul Dhikra, حَقًّا وَصِدْقًا, in reality, yani truthfully, sincerely, from the Ahlul Dhikra, then it is upon him to take from the supplications that have been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Mu'allim al-Khair, the teacher of Khair, the Imam al-Muttaqeen, the leader of the people of piety, the Imam of the people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salawatullah alayhi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi, and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is critical. Whoever wants to remember Allah, whoever wants to supplicate to Allah, make sure that these words of remembrance are authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, he says, Yani, sticking to those narrations, words of remembrance that have been conveyed from the Prophet ﷺ, كَالْ أَذْكَارَ الْمُؤَقَّتَى, like the أَذْكَارَ الْمُؤَقَّتَى. And here he mentions three categories of different types of أَذْكَار. The first one he mentions, أَذْكَارَ الْمُؤَقَّتَى, يعني, meaning those words of remembrance that have been conveyed from the Prophet ﷺ. And here he explains that there's مُؤَقَّتَ, يعني أذكار مُؤَقَّتَ and أذكار المُطْرَقَ. يعني مُؤَقَّتَ meaning those أذكار that are connected to certain times. And he gives the details of it. As opposed to those أذكار that are مُطْرَقَ, that are not connected or restricted to any time, that a person can just say any time in any situation or circumstance. So he's distinguishing between these two categories here. الأذكار المُؤَقَّتَ, he says, that Shaykh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah gave as examples of that which is said fi awwal an-nahar mathalan wa akhiri, yani that which is said in the beginning of the day and in the end of the day, and it is that which is known as azkar as-sabah wal masa, yani the words of remembrance that are said in the morning and in the evening, meaning in the morning after fajr until sunrise, in the evening after asr until maghrib. And if a person missed those times, then say them any time in the morning or in the evening that they and he reached them. But the best time of the Adhkar al-Sabah al-Masah is in the morning after Fajr and in the evening after Asr. These are examples of what? Al-Adhkar al-Mu'akkata. Yani that are connected to a certain time. Likewise, at the time when a person goes to his bed, yani to retire to sleep. And the Prophet ﷺ has brought to us a number of words of remembrance that have been legislated for the Muslim to say them at the time when he intends to go to his bed. يعني tremendous magnificent أذكار فيها الخير يعني من الخير والنفع والفائدة وقوة الإيمان وسلامة الفطر وحسن الإقبال على الله سبحانه وتعالى والخاتمة الطيبة والنوم الحني. يعني he said that these أذكار that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has left for us related to the time of going to sleep, they are magnificent, they are tremendous, and within them we find a lot of خير, a lot of benefit. Yani that which strengthens iman, strengthens, makes a person's iman strong, and makes their nature, their natural being, yani to be safe and to be secure, to be whole and wholesome, and to for them to have a good, yani turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a good ending, and a yani pleasant, yani good sleep. A person can go to sleep on these adhkar, yani saying these things when you go to sleep, it's a different sleep that you will yani enjoy. Benefits, thimar, that have no limit. La hadda laha wala adda. And they are uncountable. There's no limit to them, and there's no number to the number of benefits, yani favors, yani good or khair that will come to the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored. Bil muhafaza ala al adhkar al ma'athura ala nabiyya salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. Yani, there's no end, there's no limit, yani to the amount of khair and good that will come to the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored by enabling them to protect and to preserve, to guard, yani to be consistent in reciting these words of remembrance, these adhkar that have been conveyed to us from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّمَا يَأْتِي الْمَرْءُ إِلَى فِرَاشِهِ. And he said, at the time when a person goes to his bed, yani, at the time when a person goes to a bed, and at the time when a person wakes up from sleeping, when a person rises from sleep, yani that which has been conveyed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many adhkar and there are many ad'iyah, yani words of remembrance and supplications, and some of them, it has been mentioned, and one of them has been mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من قام من نومه وأتى بها ودعا استجيب du'a'uhu la yurudda lahu du'a'uhu. Yani, the person, in one of the hadith, this hadith is in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever wakes in his sleep, wakes up from his sleep, in the middle of the night, or any time in the night while he's sleeping, the person who wakes up, من قام من نومه وأتى بها, and then recites this supplication, his supplication, his du'a will be answered, it will not be rejected. Yani a person makes wudu, as is narrated in Bukhari, before going to sleep. And when they wake up, yani they recite, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la. له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. الحمد لله، سبحان الله، لا إله إلا الله، الله أكبر، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، اللهم اغفر لي. He said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the one who says this, Allah will forgive them. And if they ask Allah, supplicate to Allah, Allah will grant them. And if they perform salat, Allah will accept it. Guaranteed. Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, hafidhullah ta'ala, he had a video that he spoke about this hadith. Recently, I saw it, where he spoke about this hadith, and he explained the meaning of it in some detail. And the point, he said, that a person who has a need of something, this is a dua that's guaranteed to be answered. Yani make wudu before you go to sleep, and when you wake up in the night, begin by saying, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk, lahul hamdu, huwa ala kulli shayin kadir. Alhamdulillah, subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu akbar, Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allahumma ghfirli, oh Allah forgive me. Allah will forgive your sins. Supplicate to Allah, Allah will answer your supplication. Make salah, Allah will accept your salah. Hadith is in Bukhari. Hadith is in Bukhari. This is tremendous. The Shaykh here is alluding to what? Yani one, an example of the type of supplications that the Prophet ﷺ has left for us, yani that we need to take advantage of. He says, come, yufawwitu ala anfusina min khayrat. Yani how much have we allowed to escape us of khayr? Because we haven't yani learned these supplications and we haven't supplicated with them. We haven't learned these words of remembrance and we haven't remembered Allah by them. How much khair, how much benefit, yani how much good have we allowed to pass us by, yani from yani allowing these narrations, supplications and words of remembrance that have been conveyed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pass us by. He said, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, yani as example of the adhkar al-mu'akkata, yani that are connected to time, at the time of waking up from sleep, and at the ends, or after the performance of the salawat, meaning the obligatory prayers. Yani at the time when a person is going to sleep, at the time when a person is waking up, and after every one of the five obligatory prayers, they are adhkar that are specifically mentioned, authentically narrated from the Prophet ﷺ for us to say, and that, this is a series of classes in and of itself, to talk about these adhkar and the benefits of reciting these supplications. He said that there are adhkar that have been conveyed from the Prophet ﷺ, that whoever recites them after the obligatory prayers, yani the five obligatory prayers in the day and the night, then there will be a great reward for them. And here he says, after this, the second category, after the adhkar that are related to time, specific times, like the morning adhkar and the evening adhkar, the adhkar at the time of going to sleep and waking up, and the adhkar that are recited at the time of completing the five congregational prayers, he said, قَالَ وَالْأَذْكَارَ الْمُقَيَّدَ يعني the adhkar that are muqayyada, yani he said, this is ma'atu. In the Arabic transcript, it says, قَالَ وَالْأَذْكَارُ الْمُقَيِّدَ مَعَرُوفُ. Ma'ruf is a mistake, it should be ma'atuf. Yani ma'atuf, meaning adhkar al-muqayyida is connected to adhkar al-mu'akkata. Mu'akkata wa muqayyida. It's ma'atuf, it's connected to it. Yani meaning this type and this type. Yani it's connected to his saying, al-adhkar al-mu'akkata at the time. Yani here he's saying what? That this is the second type, al-adhkar al-muqayyida. يعني مقيدة بشيء معين يعني it is restricted to something particular. يعني this type of adhkar is restricted to something particular. That one, the first one, is مؤقتة يعني بوقت معين. يعني it's connected to a certain time, morning or evening, time of sleeping or waking up and so on. This one is مقيدة بأمر معين, connected to a certain matter, a certain affair. And here Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah gives examples of what he means by the adhkar that's connected to a certain affair. يقال مثله ما يقال عند الأكل والشرب. يعني that which is said at the time of eating and drinking, the occasion of eating, on the occasion of eating or the occasion of drinking. يعني meaning saying Bismillah in the beginning of eating, for example, and saying Alhamdulillah after completing eating or drinking. These are supplications that have been conveyed authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever a person eats, they should begin by saying Bismillah, and when they finish, they should end by saying Alhamdulillah. Also, عند اللباس وعند الجماع وعند الدخول المنزل المسجد والخلاء والخروج من ذلك. Also, the specific occasions that the adhkar are connected to, is at the time of dress, or on the occasion of putting on one's clothing, or on the occasion of having marital relations with one's spouse, or on the occasion of entering the house or the masjid or the bathroom, والخروج من ذلك, or coming out, يعني coming out of the house or the masjid or the bathroom, وعند المطر وعند الرعد, or at the time when it, or the occasion when there's rain falling, or when there's thunder, and other than that, from those words of remembrance that are مقيدة والمؤقتة, يعني أذكار that are connected to certain يعني matters like eating and drinking and dressing and entering and exiting and so on, or matters or adhkar that are related to times. The third thing he says, though, the third type of adhkar, ثم ملازمة ذكر مطلقا, يعني sticking to, adhering to the remembrance of Allah absolutely, يعني without any restriction or consideration of time or event or occasion, just remembering Allah in general all the time. So he said that there are some adhkar that are mutlaqa, they are not restricted to a particular time or event or occasion. And the best of them, yani the best of the adhkar al-mutlaq, is the saying, La ilaha illallah. The best of general adhkar that a person can say at any time of day or night, without consideration of time or occasion, or what you may be doing at that occasion, as long as you're not doing something that prohibits you from mentioning the name of Allah, like using the bathroom or sitting in the toilet or something like this, the best of what can be said is La ilaha illallah. This is the best of what a person can say. There's nothing better than saying La ilaha illallah in the general sense. And then the Shaykh goes on to explain in detail and some specifics. The best of what one can say is La ilaha illallah. And it has been authentic narrated from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that he said, وَخَيْرُ مَا قُلْتُهُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي. The best of what I have said and the best of what the prophets before me have said is La ilaha illallah وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. And of course the explanation of this ذكر يعني requires يعني a lot of time. We won't go into the explanation except to say that the meaning of it I think is well known. There's nothing that deserves worship except Allah alone, and that he has no partner, and to him belongs the sovereignty or the kingdom, and to him belongs the praise, and he has power over everything. This hadith is not mentioned in the book, but it's narrated in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi from Amr ibn Shu'ayb, from his father, from his grandfather, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it is Hasan. And the best of what our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and the Prophet before him said is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu mulk wa lahu alhamd wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And there are many innumerable hadith concerning this saying for different, yani with different rewards mentioned in different ones. It has also been authentically narrated from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, أفضل الذكر لا إله إلا الله. Yani that the best word of remembrance is La ilaha illallah. And in that hadith, the Prophet also mentioned, يعني وأفضل الدعاء الحمد لله. And the best of supplication is Alhamdulillah. This hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i, Ibn Hibban, and Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani said that it is Hasan. And Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, also said that it's Hasan. It's narrated from Jabir Ibn Abdullah. يعني that the best dhikr is La ilaha illallah. And there are many hadith that have come to us. There are many hadith that have come to us, yani from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, concerning the excellence of dhikr, and specifically this tremendous, magnificent word, that is the word, the expression, La ilaha illallah, which is the greatest of all words, absolutely, and the most noble and majestic of all words, absolutely, unreservedly. And it is kalimat al-tawheed, the word of tawheed. And it is the word of ash-shahada, bearing witness, and the word of ikhlas, sincerity for Allah alone. And it is the key to Jannah, and it is the foundation of success and happiness in this world and the next life. And all of these statements and many, many more are all proven by hadith that some of the scholars have collected concerning the excellence and virtues of La ilaha illallah. He said, wa afdaluhu, yani the best of the general unrestricted words of remembrance is La ilaha illallah. And this expression La ilaha illallah, as we have known, come to know, it is kalimat tawheed. It is the word that expresses the essence of tawheed. There's no tawheed without this word. Yani nobody has tawheed who doesn't sincerely from their heart confess to La ilaha illallah. No matter what else they say. Nobody has tawheed without this word. وَهِيَ قَائِمَةٌ عَلَى النَّفْي وَالْإِثْبَاتِ. And it is founded upon negation and affirmation. Yani this expression contains negation and affirmation. La ilaha illallah. Yani la ilaha is negation of every type of worship for anyone and everyone besides Allah. And the word illallah is affirmation, confirmation of ibadah, of worship of every type in all of its meanings or aspects for Allah alone. Yani saying la ilaha illallah is first, yani negating worship to other than Allah, and then affirming the worship, all of it, for Allah alone. So this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. It is ikhlas ad-deen lillah. Making the deen sincerely for Allah. Ifradullah subhanahu wa ta'ala wahdahu. Yani singling out Allah from everyone and everything else in existence. Alone. For dhul, yani humility. And al-khudu, submission and obedience. And khawf, fear. And raja, hope. And hub, love. Wal-ibadah. Yani singling out Allah for love and hope and fear, and submission, yani humility, obedience, love, and everything that is for Allah alone. Then the Shaykh mentions a number of ayahs from the Quran, yani that support this, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Bayyinah, 98th Surah and 5th ayat, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. That they have not been commanded except to worship Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, making the deen sincerely for Him alone. And in Surah Al-Zumr, 39th Surah, 3rd Ayat, أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينَ الْخَالِصِ. Isn't it so that the deen is purely for Allah? Yani every type of worship is for Allah alone. And in Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 23rd Ayat, وَقَضَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. And your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has commanded, has decreed that you do not worship anyone except Him. And Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 36th Ayat, وَعَبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah and don't associate anything with Him in that worship. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And here the Shaykh says that which is of critical importance, and it's for all of us, and it's for everyone who claims to be a Muslim. La ilaha illallah لَيْسَتْ نَافِيَةً لِقَائِلِهَا إِذَا لَمْ يَفْهَمْ مَعْنَاهَا وَيُحَقِّقْ مَدْلُولَهَا. يعني that this saying of La ilaha illallah doesn't bring any benefit to the one who says it if they do not understand its meaning. And if they do not realize what it points to, يعني what it requires, they don't act upon it. There's no benefit from saying La ilaha illallah for the one who doesn't understand what it means and who doesn't, يعني realize, يعني practice, act upon in their real life what it indicates, what it points to. And he said, what it points to is al-ikhlas wa ifrad Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bil-ibadah. Yani what it points to, what it indicates, what it requires of us is to sincerely single out Allah alone for every type of worship. Yani the best of the adhkar al-mutlaqa, yani the rewards of remembrance that are not restricted to a time or occasion or event or action, the best of them is La ilaha illallah. And here the Shaykh says, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, that there may be some circumstances, sometimes, in which the other words of remembrance, like Subhanallah, and Alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar, and La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, there are some circumstances, or certain occasions, in which those other words of remembrance may be preferable, better to say than to say La ilaha illallah. Certain special circumstances. Otherwise, overall in general, the best of all sayings is La ilaha illallah. But there are certain circumstances in which another saying might be better and preferable and more rewardable. Here the Shaykh says, for example, the Mu'adhin is calling the Adhan saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. مَا الْأَفْضَلْ أَن تَقُولْ. What is better that you should be saying at that time? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Repeating what the Mu'adhin says. This is what's best to be saying on that particular occasion. Although in general, La ilaha illallah is better. But not on this occasion. Not at this time. So here, it is better that a person says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, than to say La ilaha illallah. even though saying La ilaha illallah in general is, in general, it is more preferable, better, superior, and so on. So there may be some event or some occasion or some circumstances in which the tasbih, saying subhanallah, or the tahmeed, saying alhamdulillah, or the takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, may be better in certain circumstances or situations. For example, the Shaykh gives another example. A person may say, and we seek refuge in Allah from such, something related to Allah that is false, qawlun batil, saying something about Allah that's falsehood, and we seek refuge in Allah from such speech. Mal afdal fi hadha al-maqam, in this situation, what is the best thing that a person can say at the time when somebody is saying something false, attributing some falsehood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that Allah is a son, or that Allah has a partner, or that Allah is a trinity? And what is the best thing to say at that time? He said the best thing to say at that time is subhanallah. Subhanallah. Because subhanallah is the declaration that Allah is free from any imperfection, that Allah is free from whatever they have ascribed to Him of falsehood that is not befitting of Him. This is the statement that means we declare Allah to be free of any imperfection and whatever they have falsely attributed to Him. Subhanallah. The Shaykh says, say subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Saffat, 37th Surah, 180th Ayat. And to declare your Rabb, the one who is the rabbil izzah, the Lord of honor and power, that He is free from whatever they have described Him with a falsehood to the end of the ayah. So if we are in this situation, maqam at-tanzih, where it requires that we declare Allah to be free from what they have falsely ascribed to Him, then that which is better is that we declare His yani perfection by saying subhanallah. If we came, for example, to the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, inna Allaha la yarda عن عبده أن يأكل الأكل فيحمد الله يحمده عليها. يعني indeed Allah is pleased with His servant when he eats a piece, a morsel of food, that he praises Him, that person praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that food. On this occasion, at the time of taking some food, saying Alhamdulillah, يعني here in this place, is better for the person who is eating in this particular place. The best thing that a person can say upon taking some food to eat is Alhamdulillah. So here we're saying then what? In this case, we know that there are certain circumstances that may arise in which these words, which are generally speaking less than La ilaha illallah, there are certain cases in which they will be better and more preferable in that particular circumstance than saying La ilaha illallah. And this point, yani, is a confirmation of the qaida as-sabiqa that yani Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah pointed to earlier. And the qaida we're talking about is what we mentioned last week, that the best of deeds, of the voluntary deeds in any particular time, the best of them is al-awfaq lis-sunnah. Al-awfaq lis-sunnah, yani that is what is wifq as-sunnah, is closer to being in agreement with the sunnah at that particular time. This is yani the principle that we mentioned last week, and this point here is in reference to that same principle. Here the Shaykh, he goes on to mention yani the excellence of these four words. He said indeed there are four words, yani La ilaha illallah, wa subhanallah, wa alhamdulillah, wa allahu akbar. These are the best words, the most noble and majestic, yani the most beloved words to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani these words are the most beloved words to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the most beloved of words outside of the Quran that people can say are these four words. The excellence of them are many, and it has been confirmed in the Sahih, an authentic hadith from our Prophet ﷺ that he said, for example, and this hadith, you can make a note if you like, it's a hadith, it's reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih. And if the Shaykh doesn't give the reference for it, it's in Sahih Muslim. أَحَبُّ الْكَلَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَرْبَعَ. يعني the most يَرْحَمُكُمْ. The most beloved speech to Allah are four words, four expressions. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said the most beloved of speech to Allah are these four words. And it has also been authentically narrated from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, wa la an aqula subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, that I say these words, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, is أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ. Yani to say these words is more beloved to me than everything that the sun has risen upon, meaning everything in the dunya. Saying these four words were more beloved to the Prophet ﷺ than everything that is in this world. And this hadith is also reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. Here the Shaykh says, he goes back to something that was mentioned early on in the beginning of the book. He said, we have mentioned, yani, the speech of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, that a person should increase in doing good deeds. This is in reference to what? Increasing in doing good deeds, he was saying. Yani, in reference to the person who, and every human being commits sins, that the way of removing those sins is by doing extra good deeds. And this was in reference to the speech of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, أَتْبِعِي السَّيِّئَاتِ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Yani, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, observe taqwa in every situation or circumstance, and follow up an evil deed with a good deed, it will remove it. And it has also passed by, yani recently we mentioned, in that time when we were dealing with that topic, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَا السَّيِّئَاتِ, that Allah said in the Qur'an, in Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 114th Ayat, that indeed, good deeds remove evil deeds. Yani the good deed of saying Subhanallah, of saying Alhamdulillah, of saying Allahu Akbar, of saying La ilaha illallah, this is the greatest of hasanat, of good deeds that a person can do. And they have an amazing effect in removing or expiating sins. Yani a person has a lot of sins. Yani all of us do. But some people might recognize that they have a lot of sins and other people don't recognize. But if you recognize that you have a lot of sins, these four words have a tremendous, amazing effect in expiating sins. And if a person wants to expiate sins, one of the best ways to do so is with these four words. Yani, it has been mentioned from the Prophet ﷺ, where he made clear this affair with an example, mithal ajib, an amazing example. And the hadith is in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, and it is confirmed to be authentic. The Prophet ﷺ made this amazing example to clarify the effect of these four words in expiation of sins and removing a person's sayyiat. It came in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi that the Prophet ﷺ was with his companions one day, and they passed by a tree that was dried up. It was dried up, it wasn't moist, and it was dry. A tree that had leaves on it, but it wasn't moist, it was dry. And he had in his hand, that is the Prophet ﷺ had a stick in his hand, and he struck the dry tree with the stick that he had in his hand. And the dry leaves from the tree began to fall down in front of the eyes of the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, from this tree. The leaves began to fall down, and the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were looking at these leaves falling. And the Prophet, this is real life. He struck the tree, and they saw him strike the tree. They saw the leaves falling, and he said to them, well, the Shaykh, before he says what the Prophet said, he said, if anybody wants to, I'm sorry, yes. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said to them, Inna subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, la tusaqit dhunub al-abd kama tasaqata warqa hadhihi al-shajra. Yani, saying subhanallah, and alhamdulillah, and la ilaha illallah, and allahu akbar, cause the sins of a person to fall down. Yani for them to be relieved from their sins in the same way that those leaves were falling from that tree. And the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they were looking at this tree and they were looking at these leaves falling down while the Prophet ﷺ was saying to them, in the same way your sins can fall just by a person sincerely from their heart, recognizing the meaning of what they're saying and believing it to be true, saying subhanallah, walhamdulillah, وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. If a person wants to see this with their own eyes, one day if you see a dry tree, hit it with a stick, and then look how the leaves will fall down. Especially if that tree is completely dried up. Look, hit the tree, and look at how the leaves will fall from it. And he said, I am not calling people to strike trees or to strike the leaves, but rather what I'm inviting you to is to increase in the remembrance of Allah by saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Here I am just bringing to mind with you in this sitting this amazing example which the Prophet ﷺ, yani the one who is the trustworthy advisor, which he gave to to encourage us to recite these tremendous words, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And in clarification of the amazing, the tremendous, magnificent effect that these four words have in expiation of sins. Here the Shaykh mentions the hadith of Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr, radiallahu anhu, that's reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, where he mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to him the same meaning that's mentioned in an early hadith that we said, follow up an evil deed with a good deed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this to Abu Dharr, radiallahu anhu, and Abu Dharr said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, أَفَمِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Yani, is the saying of La ilaha illallah from amongst good deeds? Is this from what is considered to be a good deed? So this is when the Prophet ﷺ had said to him, follow up an evil deed with a good deed. So Abu Dharr said, is saying La ilaha illallah from amongst the good deeds that you are saying here, follow up an evil deed with a good deed? And the Prophet ﷺ said, here أحسن الحسنات. It is the best of good deeds. You want to follow up an evil deed with a good deed? The best of good deeds is saying La ilaha illallah. And here, this is in the situation of what? What we're talking about? Expiation of sins. So in this situation, saying La ilaha illallah, it is the best of good deeds. And these four words are the best of words. The four words that are mentioned in this hadith that are the most beloved to Allah, and that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, is more beloved to him than everything that the sun has risen upon. These four words are the best things that a human being can occupy their time with. They are the most beloved of speech to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah adds to those four words, in his explaining of the words that one can say, the good words that a person can say besides La ilaha illallah, he added to it, he said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is another word of great importance. It has been narrated from the Prophet authentically that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it is from the treasures. And he's saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no strength and no power except with Allah. It is from the treasures that are beneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another narration, in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Akthiru min qawli la hawla wa la quwwata. And here in the Arabic, one word is missing. It says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa is missing here. Illa, illallah should be. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And he increased in saying these words, the Prophet ﷺ said, and these words are great words. And this particular statement, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it is a tremendous expression, in relation to seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person is in need of help, isti'ana, they want to seek help from Allah. Then by saying this word, a person is able to seek Allah's help and assistance. Whoever brings this word, who recites this word before they're doing some great deeds, and they're asking Allah's help in it, whether it is from the things that are beneficial in your worldly life or in your religious life, whoever says this, it is a means of asking Allah's help to do whatever it is of good that you're trying to do. And for this reason, it has been legislated for the Muslim, when a person leaves their house, every time you leave your house, even if you go out of your house 5 times a day, for the congregational prayer 5 times a day, and another time to go to work, and another time to go to the store, every time you leave your house, you should say this word, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In the name of Allah, I put my trust in Allah, and there is no strength and no power except with Allah. Whoever says this, it will be said to him, Hudita wa kufita wa wuqita. And this hadith that the Shaykh is referring to is an authentic hadith that's reported by At-Tirmidhi from Anas ibn Malik, that the Prophet ﷺ said, when a man leaves his house and he says, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it will be said to him at that time, Hudita, you have been guided by saying Bismillah. Wa kufita, and you have been sufficed by saying, Tawakkaltu ala Allah. Wa wuqita, and you have been protected by saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, if anybody is not saying this when they leave the house, you need to learn it tonight, and don't leave your house again without saying it. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَيَتَنَهَّى لَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ. When a person says this, shaitan will withdraw from him. وَيَقُولُ شَيْطَانُ الْآخَرُ. And another shaitan will say to that shaitan that intended to harm you, or do whatever he intended to do to you, another shaitan will say to that one, كَيْفَ لَكَ بِرَجُلٍ هُدِيَ وَكُفِيَ وَبُقِيَ. كَيْفَ لَكَ بِرَجُلٍ. What can you do with a man who has been guided, who has been sufficed, who has been protected? The Shaykh, he says, and this is the end, of this topic. Allahumma musta'an. And the Shaykh, he says, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, rahimahullah, ثُمَّ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ كُلَّ مَا تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ اللِّسَانِ وَتَصَوَّرَهُ الْقَلْبُ مِمَّا يُقَرِّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ تَعَلُّمْ عِلْمٍ وَتَعَلِيمِهِ وَأَمْرٍ بِمَعْرُوفٍ وَنَحْيٍ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ فَهُوَ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Yani, after this, yani after mentioning the adhkar that are connected to certain times, and the adhkar that are connected to certain actions, and the general adhkar that are not connected or specified to any particular action or time, then Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, then know that everything that the tongue speaks with, and everything that the heart envisions, meaning what you are saying and even what you are reflecting upon, all of this, yani when a person is remembering Allah with their tongue and when they are reflecting upon the greatness of Allah and the magnificence of His creation and the bounties and favors of Allah that He has bestowed upon you, just in your heart, that reflection, he said that everything that a person says and that they even reflect upon in their heart, from that which brings a person near to Allah, whether it is learning knowledge or teaching knowledge or enjoining the good or forbidding the wrong, all of this comes under the title of dhikrullah. All of this is remembrance of Allah. And for this reason, whoever has occupied themselves with seeking beneficial knowledge after fulfilling their obligatory duties, or the person who sat in a gathering where they are seeking understanding of the deen, or they are teaching understanding of the deen, the fiqh, which Allah and His Messenger has called fiqh. And whoever is learning that or teaching that, then this is also min afdal dhikrillah. This is from the best and the most excellent of the remembrance of Allah. And based upon this, whoever reflects upon it, then you will find that there is no real difference, no great difference between the earlier scholars in what they have said concerning what is the best of deeds. And some of them may have said the best of deeds is saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Some of them may have said that the best of deeds is making salat or giving zakat. And some of them may have said that it's learning or teaching. And all of this, whatever a person says or does or reflects upon or contemplates over, even in their heart, if it's from that which brings a person nearer to Allah, and there's no doubt that from the best of them is learning or teaching, all of this, it comes under the remembrance of Allah. The Shaykh explains this last statement by saying here, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah makes clear to us that giving care, al-inaya, to the religious knowledge, the shar'i, yani the legislated knowledge, wa tafaqqu fi deenillah, seeking understanding of the religion of Allah, and coming to know the lawful and the unlawful, and the ahkam, the legal rulings of Islam. And likewise, not only that, but also giving care to al-fiqh al-akbar, yani the greater fiqh, meaning the fiqh that's greater than the fiqh of what is, yani, how many rak'ats pray in dhuhr, greater than the fiqh of how much zakat is due on this person, greater than the fiqh of how to make hajj, al-fiqh al-akbar, that fiqh which is ma'rifatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing Allah, ma'rifatu asma'i wa sifati, knowing the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah, wa ma yajibu nahwahu. Here again, there's a mistake in the transcript. مَا يَجِبُ نَحْوَهُ مِنْ, it says مِنْ افْتِقَارِ وَإِمَانِ, but it should say مِنْ اِعْتِقَادِ وَإِمَانِ. Yani knowing that which is obligatory, yani the rights of Allah, the obligations in the deen, that which is obligatory from اِعْتِقَادِ, from what we are to believe, and iman, and yani the faith, yani the things that we are required, yani the conviction in the heart as well as the things that we are required to believe in. All of this, and likewise things that are related to the usul of iman. And then here he mentions the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of Jibril, in which he said, he was asked, what is iman? And he said, it is to believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers and the last day, and to believe in the divine decree, the good and the evil of it. This is what he is referring to as the usul of iman, yani the arkan of iman, the pillars of iman, yani the names of Allah, the sifat of Allah, the obligations that are due to Allah, everything that is part of the Islamic aqidah and what we're required to believe in, from the fundamentals of iman and the pillars of Islam, all of this comes under yani dhikrullah. So a person being occupied with seeking understanding of the deen, learning yani these things, ma'rifa, yani having knowledge of the usul of iman, the arkan of Islam, the wajibat of the deen, yani these fundamental things and these obligations which Allah has made obligatory upon us, knowing the lawful and the unlawful and the legal rulings, all of this comes under the title of al-dhikr. And yani all of it is considered a part of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh, he says that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is saying, yani know that everything which you say on the tongue or what you yani conceive in the heart from those things which bring you near to Allah, whether it is ta'allum, yani learning knowledge or teaching knowledge, or enjoining the good or forbidding the wrong, all of this is from the remembrance of Allah. He said, therefore, the remembrance of Allah is not limited to the mafhum al-am, the general understanding. When people say dhikrullah, they're usually thinking about what? A tasbih, saying subhanallah, and tahleel, saying la ilaha illallah, and tahmeed, saying alhamdulillah, and that which is similar to this. They usually confine it to this meaning. He said, it is not limited to this. Rather, also the dhikr of Allah includes knowing the names of Allah and His characteristics. And the dhikr of Allah includes having understanding of Allah's deen. And the dhikr of Allah includes having knowledge of the halal and the haram and the ahkam of Islam. And he said recently, yani we also mentioned the story of the Shaykh, the Imam from amongst the Salaf, Abu Suwar al-Adawi, rahimahullah, when a student was someone, a young man in his gathering where he was teaching the people, stood up and told the people to remember Allah. And he said to him, yani, what have we been doing since we've been sitting here in this sitting? Yani, this is remembrance of Allah. Yani, learning what is halal and haram and the ahkam of the deen, all of this is the establishment of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, whoever is engaged in seeking beneficial knowledge after the obligatory duties or sitting in the sittings where the deen is being taught or where it is being learned, yani the fiqh that Allah and His Messenger has called fiqh. And here he said, the example of what Allah and His Messenger has called fiqh is as Allah mentions in the Quran, Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 122nd Ayat, فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Yani, that from every party or every group of the believers who go out, yani in the way of Allah, a group of them should remain behind in order to يَتَفَقَّهُ يعني في الدين, to have, to seek understanding, knowledge of the deen. And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a hadith recorded by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, he said concerning the fiqh of deen, man yuridi Allah bihi khayran yufaqihu fi الدين, that whoever Allah intends for them khayr, then He gives them fiqh, yani understanding of the deen. And this is not limited to the fiqh yani of salat and zakat and siyam. Rather, this is understanding the deen in its entirety. And he's saying, rahimahullah, that which Allah and His Messenger has called fiqh in the deen, yani he said that this is important because the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes the aqaid, the aqidah, the things that yani we believe in, and it also includes the ibadat, the acts of worship, and it also includes kamal al-deen bi husn al-taqarrub ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani the whole completion and the perfection of the deen, yani in the best ways of seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he made this clear yani by the hadith of Jibril that is famous, in which they asked him about Islam, and he told them what is Islam, and they asked him about Iman, and he told them, made them to know what is Iman, and they asked him about Ihsan, and he made them to know what is Ihsan, yani explaining what is Islam, the pillars of Islam, the pillars of Iman, and what is Ihsan. And in the end of that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, this is Jibril, he came to teach you your deen. Meaning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes the pillars of Islam, the pillars, arkan of iman, and it also includes ihsan. All of this is from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the aqidah and the ibadah, all of this, the fiqh of it is fiqh of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, yani, so all of this is from the best of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore whoever reflects carefully, they will find that there's no real major difference of opinion amongst the earlier scholars when they said their different sayings about what is the best of deeds after the obligatory deeds. He said that you will find that there's no real difference amongst them. And here I just want to make one yani comment quickly, and that is a mistake here in the transcript. It says, إِذَا نَظَرْتَ فِي أَقْوَالِ أَحْلِ الْعِلْمِ فِي مَا هُوَ الْأَفْضَلِ بَعْدَ النَّوَافِلِ. It should say, فِي مَا هُوَ أَفْضَلِ بَعْدَ الْفَرَائِدِ تَجِدُ أَنَّهُ اِخْتِلَافٌ فِي ذَلِكُمْ اِخْتِلَافٌ تَنَوُّعٌ. Yani whoever looks at this, yani what the scholars have said concerning what is the best after performing the obligatory duties, they will find that there is no big difference. Rather, it is اِخْتِلَافٌ تَنَوُّعٌ. Yani it's just different types of the same thing, different types of worship, but it's all yani worship. All of it is worship, and all of it comes under the remembrance of Allah. Yani each one of them pointing to yani answering the person who asked them with that which was appropriate or suitable for them. So when a person came to someone, asked what is best, he said seeking knowledge, because he saw that this person had a desire to seek knowledge, and another person he saw that they had yani some other inclination, so he pointed them to that which was suitable or best for them. And therefore we say, yani, there's no difference between what the scholars have said. Rather, each of them have observed or considered this principle that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah pointed to earlier, and that is, yani, that people have different capabilities, and yani, some things may be superior to others based on a particular time or situation or circumstance. And then the Shaykh, he closes by saying that a brother came to him yani at the beginning of the dars and said to him that after hearing what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said about good character and the importance of keeping ties with those who cut you off, and giving to those who denied you, and pardoning those who wronged you, he said after hearing this he went home and he said he had a lot of thoughts about the people who had wronged him, and he wanted to pardon them, but he couldn't get himself to do it, and he tried various different ways, but he couldn't get himself to pardon them. And he said that he got up in the middle of the night and he performed salah as much as Allah decreed for him. And he asked Allah to open his heart, to pardon those who had wronged him. Because of this, yani the magnificence that he understood of good character of the Prophet ﷺ in pardoning those who have wronged you, and in keeping ties with those who have cut you off, and in giving to those who have deprived you, he understood it. And he wanted to do it, but he couldn't do it. But he got up in the night and he prayed to Allah, whatever Allah had decreed for him to pray. And he asked Allah to open his heart. And Allah opened his heart and enabled him to pardon them. And the Shaykh said that he wanted to mention this because it brought happiness to his heart. And he wanted to bring happiness to the hearts of the believers. That whoever calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will answer you. If you sincerely want to do good, Allah will make you able to do it. But you have to want to do it. And that's what we want to close with tonight. That if you want to do good, you want to be better, you want to improve yourself, you want to get nearer to Allah, Allah will help you. But you have to have a desire in your heart to make a change. And we cannot be content with our condition the way we are. Whoever is content with his condition or her condition, they have been deluded, deceived. They have been deceived. Because the people who are better than us, they wasn't content. They was afraid when they were returning to Allah that they have fallen short. The Sahaba. What about us then? We should have a desire in our heart to do better. Whoever is sincere and desiring to do better, get up in the night and pray to Allah. Allah will help you. Allah will grant you tawfiq. That's easy for Allah. He said, call on me and I will answer you. Especially in the last third of the night. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.